Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on today's special episode of TCCP is none other than former Worcestershire and Derbyshire seam bowling sensation, George Scrimshaw. So George, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. How's your day been so far, mate?
No worries, mate. All good. Got a day off today after a game yesterday, so just been chilling, enjoying a bit of the sun. Yeah, just resting up for the next few games coming up.
It's a busy time of the season, isn't it? This, of course, the T20 Blast in full swing. Lots of games. They come thick and fast, don't they, at this time of year?
Yeah, they do. They take it out of you as well. You think, oh, it's just four overs, but it does take it out of you.
Yeah, that's the, I suppose it's a little bit of a strange thing about T20. You wouldn't think that it is so draining, would you? It's just four overs, 3.5 hour games, but I suppose it's the intensity, isn't it? As opposed to, yeah, 4 day cricket.
Yeah, it is. And plus with this COVID, you're timed as well. Plus these hand sanitizer breaks, and you've got to get around the overs like quick time as well. So especially with this weather as well, it doesn't help. But yeah, it's tough work.
It is, but you know what? It's just good to be back, isn't it? After 2020, we all had a horrid year. It must just be nice back playing cricket, mustn't it, George?
Yeah, 100%. Especially for me, who hasn't played in a while. I'm just chuffed to be back on the pitch. It's brilliant, really.
Well, exactly. And of course, George, we'll touch upon that more as the podcast progresses. But before we get into our main content then, listeners, today I'm going to be talking to George about his earliest cricketing memories. Then, of course, we're going to be touching a bit about his playing career with Worcestershire and Derbyshire so far. And then it's a classic here on TCCP. We will, of course, end today's episode with a classic round of TCCP teammates. But George, before we get into all of that good stuff then, I want to transport you all the way back to the origin of the George Scrimshaw cricketing journey. What were your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching the game?
I think same as most people, I would say. Sort of quick cricket for your local club team. Mine was Dunstall Cricket Club, and I also played for Barton Cricket Club, which are my two localist teams, like 5 minute walk and a 5 minute drive away. So quick cricket, and then got introduced to sort of hardball games, and then under whatever it went from, under 10s all the way through till 17s, really. They're the earliest memories. But yeah, if you wanted me to go further on about who I played for and stuff like that. But yeah, okay, so played for Dunstall and Barton, and then played for Staffordshire all the way through till under 17s. And then I think when I was about 13 or 14, I trained with my friend who is a friend of my dad's, is Dave Manning, and I was on the Worcester Satellite Academy whilst playing for Staffordshire still. So I'd go and train with him a few times a week. A few of the Worcester Academy lads were there training as well. So it was good to just improve your skills as well as playing a lot of cricket. And then after under 17s, I went on to the Worcester Academy. And then after my first year there, I signed a 1 year deal, I think, in 2016, and then 2017 managed to play four T20s in the Blast, and then signed another 3 years with Worcester until end of 2020, and then this recent year signed a 1 year deal with Derbyshire, and that's the whole cricketing journey, really.
Well, I'll tell you what, George, it's a very, very long cricketing journey. Must admit, of course, going through all of the age groups, playing national county cricket as well, of course, for Staffordshire. One of the, I don't like to call them minor counties, but they're now called the national counties, aren't they? And they are a real feeder county for the likes of Worcestershire, Warwickshire, Notts, Derbyshire, all of the Midlands counties, really. So quite a nice journey into cricket, I must admit, George. And as you said, playing lots of cricket in Worcester's Satellite Academy as well. I think that's quite a nice journey into the game, to be honest, mate. And in terms of in those formative years then, what made you a seam bowler? Because, of course, your height, I'm guessing that would have been one aspect which got you into seam bowling. But what was it about seam bowling that drew you in the first place? Why didn't you become a spinner or a keeper or a batsman, per se?
Well, I always did both at a young age. And then the main thing that stood out to me was the bowling. I realised that I could bowl quite fast, so I very much enjoyed bowling fast and the feeling of, you know, seeing the stumps come out of the ground and just taking lots of wickets, especially at an early age. And then I did that all through county cricket in like under 17s, obviously. A few injuries along the way, as you probably know, but that's all part of it. But I just love bowling fast, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, most seamers do, don't they? I suppose there's a romantic element of fast bowling with the likes of Sherbatsar, for example, Brett Lee, Sean Tate. Yeah. I had this conversation with Sussex's Jamie Atkins, actually, on our last podcast. There is something very, very appealing about bowling fast and uprooting stumps, causing absolute carnage and chaos. And George, as a seamer, I have to ask this. If you could pick one delivery in cricketing history that really stands out to you, what do you say was your or is your favourite ever seen bowling delivery?
It's either between seeing the stumps come out of the ground, the off stump, or good length delivery that nips away and hits the outside edge through to the keeper. They're the two, I think.
I was going to say, yeah, a very Jimmy Anderson-esque delivery, that second one. And yeah, of course, Stuart Broad, yeah. Fair enough. And of course, talking of those two, George, two massive influences and role models in English cricket, both absolute legends of English cricket in every way, shape and form. But in those early years, George, did you have any influences in the county circuit or on the international stage that you looked up to and tried to emulate per se?
Obviously, there's Brett Lee and Sherbatsar, like you've already mentioned. They all excited me, and I think this goes for a lot of people, but when you watch the 2005 Ashes, it's just those memories that everyone has. And Freddie Flintoff, watching him bowl, because he could bowl up to 90 miles an hour, and he did do for, you know, that spell in 2005 and in 2009, I think it was his last test, if I'm not wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Or his last Ashes series, anyway. If bowling 90 miles an hour, taking wickets and hitting Jack Callis on the head and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, those are the main people I looked up to. Dale Steyn I quite liked, and Mornay Morkel as well. Them types of bowlers.
I mean, some great choices there, George. Some really, really good choices. I'm glad you mentioned Dale Steyn as well. I mean, he's been a bit of a county stalwart, hasn't he? Played for my county in 2007, Warwickshire, for the listeners who don't know by now that I am a Warwickshire fan. And then, of course, Glamorgan, Hampshire, Mornay Morkel, part of Surrey's 2018 county championship winning team. We are blessed, really, in the past 20 years or so, to have had such a fantastic crop of seam bowlers, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a lot in first class cricket, and it just makes the county game that much better. The standard, and when you see all these overseas coming over, it's very challenging for young cricketers like myself to come up against, but it's just that experience and testing yourself.
Well, exactly, yeah, it brings out the best in cricketers, doesn't it? When you have that increased level of competitiveness. The fact is, with overseas players, we've mentioned there Morkel, Steyn, for example, these are the creme de la creme. They really are some of the finest bowlers on the planet. For young batsmen coming up against them, it must be a fantastic learning experience. And I suppose as a bowler, George, as well, coming up against overseas batsmen, experienced overseas batsmen, it must present quite a nice challenge and a good learning curve as a young bowler.
Yeah, definitely. And to see how you do against them, you can only, if you bowl a good spell or if you take a wicket, you can only take confidence from it. So it's, and if you do get hit around and by these good batsmen, you can't be too disheartened, but you just take learnings from it and hopefully improve your game, like game on game.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can't beat yourself up. I mean, with some of these players, they are some of the best in the entire world. You're going to have those moments of adversity in a game where they do just smash around the park and it seems unrelenting. But again, that is why they are some of the finest players in the entire world. But George, we mentioned a lot there about county cricket and overseas players, of course. But before we go into your county cricket career so far, mate, I wanted to touch upon your early memories of county cricket in general. You mentioned about being part of the Worcestershire Academy, but was there any memories before that in terms of watching the game, attending county games, that you can kind of draw on, per se?
Well, I'm not a Yorkshire fan, but I support Leeds. My dad and my granddad are Yorkshire fans because they're from there. So I would always used to go and watch Scarborough. Ooh, not Scarborough. Nice. Yorkshire at Scarborough, which is a really nice ground, especially when the weather's nice. Mm-hmm. I used to go watch a bit of four-day cricket and, you know, the one-day games. It was like Plunkett was playing, and I think it was a Sussex and Yorkshire game, a one-day game. There was just some great cricketers on show, and that was it was great to be around and getting on the pitch at half time and being able to just bowl and bat on the outfield because you're allowed to do that then. And so what was after that? Staff's memories, just winning games of cricket at the festivals like Taunton Festival and Malvern College Festival. That was nice. Really young. But yeah, it was a nice place. They're the main things really for me, like the main early memories before, you know, going into the professional game.
Fair enough, George. I mean, some fantastic picturesque venues there. Lovely, lovely ground. Scarbados, of course. For the Yorkshire listeners, an absolute classic outground here in England and Wales. But George, I suppose before we go into your county cricket career, because you've mentioned outgrounds and picturesque grounds, what do you say is your favourite outground in England and Wales? I mean, we've got so many fantastic grounds to choose from. Scarborough, for example, Cheltenham, Arundel, there's loads. What do you say is your favourite outground?
It's a tough one, actually. Previous county, Worcester, that was a very nice picturesque ground when it hasn't been underwater and the outfield's not cooked. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. But a ground that I've played at once and been to a few times, Wormsley Cricket Club, if you've seen there.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Very beautiful ground. I think that's probably the most picturesque ground that I've ever played at. Really beautiful. I've not played at Arundel. But I hope I get to play there at some point. And if the Derbyshire 2s keep winning, like we have been, we might get to the finals in the T20s. So that'd be good.
Yeah, one experience that'd be. Arundel Castle, what a beautiful place to play cricket. Yeah, 100%. Talking of the second 11 as well, Warwickshire as well, doing quite well. I think we're top of the central group at the moment. So our seconds might meet you there, George. Who knows? Alongside Sussex as well. I think Sussex actually got through today. Funnily enough, they topped the South group, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure. But just an interesting bit of trivia for the listeners out there. But George, bringing our conversation back on track then, let's talk about your county cricket first 11 career then. So let's talk about Worcestershire first, of course. That was your first professional contract, first gig in the proper county scene, I suppose. What do you remember from your debut for the Pairs?
So my debut didn't go too according to plan. It was against Northants T20 debut at New Road. First over went for 19, bowling at Levi and Rossington. I nearly had Levi caught first ball by Ben Cox. It was a bouncer, just clipped it and got a glove on it, went for four. Oh. And then the next deliveries were just sort of length deliveries just outside off stump, and I just kept getting cut between point and cover, and I didn't come back on after that, so it wasn't the best debut.
Well, again, it happens though, doesn't it? I mean, not ideal by any means. I mean, in terms of the debut itself, I remember quite vividly 2019, this was George Garrett's T20 debut as well. Very, very similar. I think he actually went for 19 as well, for the Bears, of course, this is, not for Worcester. Against Darcy Short, and very, very similar. I saw so many similarities because, again, the cut shot, just that accurate line and length, the one that serves you so well in red ball cricket, but in white ball against players like Richard Levy, for example, Adam Rossington, they're so clinical, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They play proper cricket shots. It happens to all bowlers and the best of bowlers. You look around the games that come up on Sky and even the international bowlers' figures, and if you go at maybe 11s and 10s and pick up a wicket or two, you bowl well in T20. So it shows that it can happen, and it's one of them formats, and you just got to take it game by game.
Exactly, George. Spoken like a true T20 bowler. Of course, you just have to, you know, brush it off, because it is a very frenetic format, isn't it? And it does come very thick and fast. One game, you could get 4 for 20, and the next game, you get none for 44. It's just that kind of game, isn't it? And I suppose in terms of your mindset as a T20 bowler, George, how do you actually deal with that? With that nature of knowing that one game, you could be the guy, the man who delivers match-winning figures, but then in the next game, you could go none for 50, none for 60. How do you actually maintain a level balance with your cricket in T20 cricket?
I think you've got to come off a clean slate each game, but if you go into the game knowing that you've done probably the best you could have done and things might not have gone your way, like if you know, every batsman might swing hard and a few might go up and go for 6 or 4 or, you know, edges or whatever. You could say it's a batter's game, but it is, well, in the first six, it's a batter's game, but it's just a tough game. You just got to take each game on its merit and you just got to keep going. That's all I'm saying. Just carry that confidence into every game and knowing that your day could be just around the corner. So if you have a bad game, you can't beat yourself up about it. I've done it many a time and you think it's the end of the world. You think you've let your team down, but you've just got to wipe it off and go again and stick together as a team.
Of course, George. Yeah, some fantastic advice there for any young bowlers, because I suppose in county cricket, it's elevated to an even greater extent, isn't it? Because it is the premier domestic stage here in England and Wales. But I suppose as a bowler in particular, there is that horrible feeling, isn't it? Almost as though, I know you haven't let your side down, but I know this from experience as well. And I just play village cricket. When you have a bad over, you can get into that vicious cycle of going, oh, it's my fault, it's my fault. You have to just, as we said, brush yourself off, dust yourself down and get back into the game. Anything can happen in this game. And that is why cricket is such a strange and wonderful game at the same time. The fact is, you could go for 12, 14, 16 runs in one over, and then have a fantastic spell after that. You just have to get your head back into the game, don't you? Especially as a seam bowler.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't come back on, then it's just the captain's decision. They're picking the bowlers they think are going to do the job at that particular time. But yeah, everyone has a bad over or a bad game, so can't get yourself too down about it. That's T20 cricket and one day cricket, unfortunately, for bowlers.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, as we don't want to keep on calling it a batter's game, but yeah, the batsmen in T20 in particular are heavily, heavily favoured, aren't they, of course?
Yeah, one stage.
Yeah. 100%. But George, we mentioned there, of course, about on the field, but I suppose we have to talk off the field as well, because it has been well documented your struggles with injury. And of course, at Worcestershire, your time at Worcestershire was really, really cut short by a whole host of injuries. It was absolutely heartbreaking, to be honest, as a county cricket fan, to see the breakdown of a young, exciting prospect in such a short space of time. It really wasn't. I'm a Warwickshire fan. But to see someone struggle with injuries is always, always difficult. And George, I just wanted to know from your perspective, first of all, how did you find out about each of these injuries in the first place?
I've had a lot. Obviously, I've had a lot of injuries throughout the whole of my playing cricket. Earliest ones were stuff like ankle and shoulder. I had both those operated on, I think, before I was 15. So I got those sorted. I've had no problems with them since. And then from 20 and back into 2016, it was just reoccurring back injuries that I couldn't seem to get on top of. You know, I rehabbed, like, you know, do everything to its T to come back and give it my best shot. But after 2017, I had such a big spell of no cricket. And from 2017 to 20, through till this year, actually, I hardly played any games. I reckon I could count on one hand the amount of games I've played. So yeah, it was horrible and to deal with. I was down at times, and like I've said, I think when I spoke to the cricketer a couple of months ago, I had to speak to someone. You've got to keep your family and friends close. Otherwise, you could just, you know, you go off track and you just get yourself in that sort of pit. So it's good to have those people around and talk to someone. But yeah, I think I was just very unfortunate to have those back injuries. I had a stress fracture, and then ever since then, I just had stress reactions, and I was sort of questioning, like, why is this happening? And so after all that, those 2 big years off, I got a operation in the November 2019. Decided to get a back fusion, so the vertebrae at the bottom. I won't go into too much detail about what it was, but ever since then, I've rehabbed, and this season in the winter, January, is the first time I've come back bowling, and ever since then, it's all been good. So I'm just hoping to continue it for the rest of this season, and hopefully a bigger career ahead.
Well, yeah, exactly, George. Fingers crossed. I mean, we're wishing you nothing but the best of luck. I mean, it is a fantastic story just to have you back in county cricket, mate. The fact is, when we saw the news that Derbyshire had signed George Scrimshaw on a deal, but myself and Joe isn't here for the podcast, unfortunately, today, but we both said how fantastic this was. A bit like Simon Kerrigan coming back, because you can't do anything about injuries. I mean, they do happen. It is a horrid part of sport, but it's not your fault, really. You can't do anything about them. As you said, you just have to rehab, get yourself through them, and try as hard as you can to come back onto the field of play, which you've done. And can I just say, George, your whole story, I did read that interview with The Cricketer. That was a bit of an inspiration behind this podcast, actually. But it is a very, very inspirational journey. And I think that you should be incredibly proud of yourself to have found that inner steel, the inner fortitude, to come back from such adversity as a real fast seam bowler, come back, and now you're playing red ball and white ball cricket for Derbyshire. It's incredible, mate. I mean, you must be incredibly proud of yourself.
Thank you very much. Just to be back playing the game I love is the main thing. It's just after all that time off, you know, you question things like, am I still good enough and all of this stuff? But I think just to be finally playing again and to have that inner drive, knowing that I've still got something in, it's just that desire to keep going. But thanks for the kind words. I'm just pleased more than anything to be back into the game, and because it's what I love doing, and I've really missed it because I've had a very long time off.
Yeah, I can imagine, George. And as I said, we are incredibly pleased for you. It's great to have you back in the circuit, mate. It really is. And I guarantee that Derbyshire fans, Worcestershire fans who saw you as well, just anyone in the county cricket who knows George Scrimshaw is happy to have you back, mate. It's brilliant. It really is. Maybe not for me as a Warwickshire fan, because you did take a wicket against us the other day. You dismissed our skipper, Will Rhodes. But no, it is really, really good to have you back, George. But before we talk about Derbyshire and this season and the moment that you found out that you would be returning to the county circuit, just one final thing about injuries, of course, because they are part and parcel for seamers in particular. What advice would you give to any young seamers who are having to deal with these major injuries? What advice would you have to try and get them through this difficult moment?
I think the main thing, especially as a young bowler, is patience, because you're always going to have that chance to come back. You know, if it obviously depends on how serious it is, but stress fractures are fairly serious, and you're going to have at least 3/4 of a season off if it's a bad one. So patience is the one thing, and just work hard off the pitch, do everything to its T, do everything you're told, and more as well. Like, just do everything you can. Recovery is the main thing. This year I've recovered probably better than ever, just to 100% make sure that I can keep going. And I've bowled more overs than I have done in so many years. Like, I've been up to 30, 40 overs a week since the start of the season. So to know that my body can hold that is just a massive confidence booster. So main advice, just stay patient and listen to your coaches and work hard, really, just behind the scenes when no one's watching.
Absolutely brilliant advice. It is so important, actually. Again, we have had players who have struggled with injuries here on the podcast. And that is a very, very similar theme that keeps on popping up time and time again. Listen to the people around you, because some people do try and do their own things. They try and stray away from the rehab schedule. You just have to listen to the people around you. And as you said, just motivate yourself to get through it, because you are a testament, George, that you can get through it and come back into the highest of domestic cricket. So, of course, for any young cricketers out there, listen to that advice, take it on board. And yeah, if you are going through any injury problems, of course, you will get through it and be back playing cricket in absolutely no time at all. But George, talking of 2021 then, let's talk about this season, okay? Because we've already said it, it was a fantastic announcement. I couldn't believe it when we saw it on Twitter for the first time and the message popped up. Still remember it, Derbyshire's Twitter feed. Derbyshire County Cricket Club have signed George Scrimshaw. And there was that lovely piece by Ajmal Shahzad in there as well, giving you a glowing review. I still remember it to this day, mate. But in terms of that moment, how momentous of an occasion was that for you to return to county cricket with Derbyshire? What do you remember about finding out about that news in the first place?
It all happened quite quickly, really. I sent quite a few messages out and sort of banging on the door at counties, like, please come and let me use your facilities, because I'm dying to use them. Like, the weather was shocking, it was cold, there's no air, it's COVID, like you couldn't go anywhere. There's no nets up at local clubs, so literally I was just crying out for some facilities to use and just practice, really. And then luckily I had Derbyshire to thank for letting me to come and train in the winter, at least two times a week, which was, you know, brilliant of them to let me come and do that. And then after a few months training, I was just absolutely buzzing to be offered a one-year deal and that opportunity to have a season of cricket. That's all I can say really about that.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it must be incredible, though, to be back. I mean, after such an absence, you mentioned about being able to count the number of games on your fingers. The fact that this season already, you've made your county championship debut, which of course we'll touch upon in a minute, actually. That is one of my questions for today's podcast. And then, of course, you've been playing in the T20 Blast. You've got another wicket under the belt. Must be brilliant. It really must be brilliant. And as I said, for this season, 2021 county cricket is a real feel-good story. Just see you back on the pitch, mate. So, yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. And that's coming from a Warwickshire fan. So imagine what the Derbyshire fans are like. But in terms of your county championship debut then, George, let's talk about that. Because, of course, beforehand for Worcester, you'd very much been a T20 specialist. You'd played a few T20 matches for the Rapids. But this year, you got the opportunity to make your county championship debut. What was that like? Because the county championship is almost the pinnacle of English domestic cricket. It's the one that everyone wants to win every single year. It's the one where we find our county cricket heroes. What was it like to make your county championship debut for the East Midlands County?
Yeah, it was brilliant, to be honest. I said at the start of the season I wanted to do as well in both formats as I could, and obviously I want to play both. After all that time off, it's been quite hard to find my best self, but I'm slowly getting to that. But I found it quite tough, to be honest, that first championship game. Bit of a flat deck at Durham. It was quite challenging. Staying patient as possible, really. I didn't go at too many. I think I went at threes or fours, but overall, I was quite pleased. Well, I was very pleased to be part of the squad and at least take my first wicket in county championship. So yeah, I was buzzing about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I don't think I have to ask this. I think you'll know it was. But do you remember your first wicket? I'm guessing you do.
Yeah, Poynton. It was a short wide one that got cut to Guesty. It was a very good catch, actually. So I've got him to thank for that.
Yeah, it was a good catch. It was a very, very good catch. And that was the game, wasn't it, with David Beddingham just absolutely teeing off. He scored 310 runs, didn't he, over both innings?
He's a very good batsman. I think he can do it in both formats as well. So he's a very, very good player.
100%, yeah. David Beddingham is definitely someone to watch out for this season. Just so destructive. He makes batting look so effortless, doesn't he? He's got a very, very clean swing, great follow-through. Seems to know his batting style as well. He's got a beautiful, beautiful technique. I must admit, David Beddingham, the South African, definitely someone to keep an eye out on this season. Talking of Bellingham then, George, actually, this relates very, very nicely to my next question. And that is, who is the toughest batsman that you've faced in county cricket so far? I mean, that would have been a bit of a baptism of fire. Let's face it, he scored 257 in the first innings and, what was it, 53 and out in the second. Would Bellingham be the most difficult batsman? Or is there someone else who would, you know, take his place at the top, per se?
I think you would have to be right. It would have to be him so far. Considering I've only played two, I think it was Knotts and Durham. So he is the best batsman I've bowled at. Well, especially on that pitch, like he looked comfortable against all of our bowlers. At times we beat the edge, but he was very good batter, and he's just got so much time at the crease. He's just a very class act. Is that that's all I can say? He's a very good batter.
He is, yeah. I mean, we could keep on saying it, couldn't we? Such a good batsman. He really is. He's been absolutely barnstorming Group 1. He's a ridiculous talent. He really is. Doesn't make me very confident the fact that we've got to play Durham in our ninth game at the Edgbaston and we've got to face him again. But no, David Bellingham, absolutely fantastic cricketer. But George, I suppose on the flip side of that then, what about bowlers? Who would you say is the toughest bowler that you've faced so far?
That would be Stuart Broad, I think.
Yeah,
he's a very good bowler. And in the same game, Luke Fletcher, he's been taking a lot of wickets this year. Well, he has, but against everyone, been taking 5 and 6 for, and at least 8 and 10 over both innings. He's been a very, very good bowler. Just how much shape he gets on the ball, late shape as well. It just entices batsmen to come in and get that late edge. It's very hard to face, but I think Stuart Broad was the best bowler I've faced so far to date.
Yeah, I can imagine that, Stuart Broad. I mean, just one of England's greatest ever bowlers. Has well over 500 test wickets. I suppose I have to touch upon that, actually, George. What on earth was that like facing him? Because I'm guessing you would have grown up watching Stuart Broad just taking wickets for fun for England. I mean, something which emerges straight away. The 8 for 15, for example, against Australia at Trent Bridge in 2015. Like, what on earth is going through your head at that moment when Stuart Broad is steaming in towards you?
Well, in your mind, you're like, oh, bloody hell, it's Stuart Broad.
Stuart Broad, yeah.
But at the time, it was just his plan to our last two or three batters was purely bumpers. So he had a man out, man short, man fine leg, and you just knew every ball was going to be a bumper. So it was just, and the game, it would have been a miraculous recovery if we could have got a knot out after all that. 9 down, so you didn't really have much to lose, but it was quite frightening after all the barrage of bounces coming down. Yeah.
I can imagine, yeah. Stuart Broad, a very, very intimidating prospect, to say the least. He does have that that short ball as well. I know, of course, in Test cricket, we're more used to seeing, you know, the nice full nip backer and in-swingers and the out-swinger as well, of course. But no, he does have pretty potent short ball as well, must be said, in particular for Knotts. I've noticed that this season. He was absolutely fantastic against us with that, actually. That's Trent Bridge. But George, talking of this season then, before, of course, we go on to our wrap-up segment, which is, of course, TCCP teammates, I want to know, mate, what are your goals and aspirations for the rest of this season? Of course, we've got the T20 Blast, got the Royal London One Day Cup. We've got the second stage of the Championship as well. I mean, there's so much cricket still to be played this summer. It's ridiculous. It really is. But I, for one, am definitely not complaining. But in terms of you as an individual, what are your goals and ambitions for the rest of 2021?
I think the main one for me is to have the whole year injury-free and just have that full year and put a few performances in for the end of the year. I hope that Derbyshire as a club can get to, well, T20 finals day and at least, you know, get to the final or semi-finals in that. That'd be brilliant. And then to feature again in the county championship towards the end of the year would be brilliant as well.
I mean, two very, very good goals. I must admit, finals day, what an occasion that is. And of course, Derbyshire made their first ever one, didn't they, in 2019 at the Fortress under Dominic Cork's leadership. But yeah, I mean, good luck, mate. That's all I'll say. Wishing you and both Derbyshire the very, very best of luck. With both of those, who knows? Could have a Derbyshire versus Birmingham final. Yeah, it would be absolutely, yeah. I mean, if we made the final as well, that'd be a massive bonus this year, of course. I've got tickets. So, yeah, fingers crossed the boys can get that done. But 2021 aside then, George, what about for the I don't know, next 4 or 5 years? If you do look that far ahead, let's say you do get another contract in county cricket, do you have any other ambitions or aspirations that you want to achieve in that period of time?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to get as high up as I can, really. And as all players in county cricket, they want to be knocking on the England door. So I just want to put in those performances as often as I can, and hopefully knock on the door, and people will see my attributes and my performances. And I hope I can just get up there as quick as I can. But obviously, it's not going to be a quick run. But just want to have that one good season, and who knows what might happen.
Exactly. That is the attitude you have to have. Who knows? Life is funny, isn't it? Opportunity can present itself at any given moment, George. And as I said, just keep plugging away, keep taking wickets, keep bowling those fearsome short balls that we've become accustomed to in county cricket. And who knows, one day, mate, you could be up there. You've just got to keep plugging away. And of course, both myself, Joe isn't here on the County Cricket Podcast today, but both of us here at TCCP wish you nothing but the best of luck, mate. But George, of course, before we end today's podcast, we do, of course, have our classic segment, which is TCCP Teammates. So listeners, for those of you who don't know how this works, in front of me, I've got 10 questions, all very much, would I say they're rogue? No, I wouldn't say they're that rogue, but I've got 10 questions in front of me, all about George's teammates at Derbyshire County Cricket Club, and George is going to answer them as he sees fit. So George Scrimshaw, are you ready for TCCP Teammates?
Yeah, I'll try and answer them as best as I can.
That's what I like to hear. Right then, George, first question, always a classic. Who is the teacher's pet at Derbyshire? So who's always hanging around the coaches, per se?
I think Finn, Hudson Prentice, he's probably team clown as well. He's always working on his batting as much as his bowling, so he's always with the coaches.
Fair play. A good choice there. So I like the fact that you mentioned he's a bit of a dressing room clown. That may or may not pop up later, George, just to give you a little bit of a hint. But yeah, Finn Hudson Prentice, what a guy. I've interviewed him before, not here on the podcast. Finn, if you are listening, always welcome here on TCCP, of course. But yeah, really nice guy. Works hard on his cricket as well. Does seem like a very, very hard-working cricketer, I must admit. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Right then, George, moving on to our next one. This is an interesting one. Who is Mr. Hard as Nails in the Derbyshire dressing room? Who wouldn't you mess with?
Hard as Nails. Maybe Tom Wood. Quite a strong man. Got some big arms and shoulders on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely see that.
Loves his arm sessions.
Yeah, I'd imagine he does, yeah. Boy, he's got some pretty big biceps.
Yeah, he does. It's the ball very hard as well.
Yeah. Probably explains why, doesn't it? With the size of those tree trunks, it's ridiculous. Right. George, moving on to our next one then. Our first musically themed question of teammates. Who is the dressing room DJ at the Ancora Ground? And what is their style of music?
Sometimes changes who's on the tunes, but if it's Mikey Cohen on the tunes, it's very on or off. He's either playing Party in the USA or Red Hot Chili Peppers, so it's very controversial. But yeah, he's quite funny with his music.
Doesn't seem to be any middle ground there. So it's either Cyrus or Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
I can't say we've had that combination on before, but again, each to their own, I suppose. Mikey Cohen, if that's his music choice, who am I to judge? Moving swiftly on to our next musically themed question then, George. Who is the karaoke king at Derbyshire and what is their choice of song?
Well, because I've not been with Derbyshire too long, only since obviously January, but I know that they do initiations. And I'm yet to do mine, but I know that Alex Hughes is the man that sort of takes charge and is the man behind the scenes who runs it all. But I don't know who's like the main song singer and who's got the main song at the minute, but I'm yet to find out.
Fair enough, George. I mean, for yourself, though, for that initiation, what are the choice of song you're thinking of, mate? Any that comes to mind?
I've got a couple in mind, but I won't say one of them in case he's listening and he starts singing it before me and then I have to sing it again because I know that has happened. So I'll say one of them. Burning Heart, one of the Rocky soundtracks.
Fair play. Seems like an apt choice as well, actually, George, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. I respect that. Moving on to our next one then, George. Oh, a classic one here on TCCP. Who are the best and worst dressed at Derbyshire?
I've not seen too many people's gears, as you call it, just yet. But Finn wears some trendy gears. Like turned up trousers and, you know, like funky stuff like that, designer stuff. I've not seen too many other, well, as much dress sense from them just yet because we've not been able to go out as much and I've not been out with them all too much just yet. So I'm yet to find out.
What about yourself, George? Where do you rate yourself in there?
Oh, I just wear casual stuff, to be honest. nothing too fancy. I'm a black jeans, trainers and hoodie man, just pretty simple.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, just play it safe, I suppose. You do get some rogue gears in county cricket, though. My words. Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to our next one then, George. One that we actually haven't actually mentioned a lot here on the podcast, but we're bringing back an old classic. Who would be the most likely to get timed out during a game?
Well, funny you say that, because last night against Lancashire, when our changing room at the Incora County Ground is like the top, like the members box, one of the members boxes, and the opposition get changed in the sports hall at the minute. And our number three or four batsman was Billy Godelman, and he made his walk instead of from the dugout from our changing room at the top. And it probably must have taken him maybe 2 minutes, if not just more. So that was quite funny. And I think a few of the Lancashire players were a bit titched off with that one as well, because it took him a while to get out there.
good timing on that one then, I suppose, given that happened last night. Fair play. Moving on to our next one then, George. I did allude to this one earlier, though. I'm guessing it may be Finn, but who do you say is the dressing room joker at Derbyshire? Who's always playing pranks or, you know, just the funny guy in the dressing room?
Yeah, I would say Finn and then probably Matt Critchley as well. Mm. Those two are quite funny people, so I would have to go with them too.
The dynamic duo of Critch and Finn. Fair play. Moving on to our next question then. George, a classic cricket one. Who's the biggest badger at Derbyshire? Who knows their stats, their figures, their players, per se?
Finn, again.
Common theme, eh?
He's a very big cricket badger. And he just absolutely loves cricket. He just absolutely loves it. which is great because he plays it for a living, so.
Yeah. But
he really does love it. He's a very big cricket badger.
Well, that's what you like to hear. Nothing wrong with being a cricket badger, of course, listeners. Nothing wrong at all.
Of course not.
Yeah. Spoken like a true badger. Right. Moving on to our penultimate one then, George. Oh, interesting this then. I'm not sure whether or not you'll be able to gauge everyone's ability in this sport, but who do you say would be the best golfer at Derbyshire, if you've had a chance to see any?
Best golfer. So me, I don't play golf because I'm a bit shocking at it. But because when I set up for a drive, it's like I'm trying to hit a ball through extra cover. So
I don't
play it. But I've heard Finn is a talented golfer and Ben Aitchison is quite a talented golfer. And I'm sure there's a couple others who are pretty good, but I'm yet to find out just yet.
It's funny you mentioned Ben Aitchison. He has popped up twice. So, again, must be a good golfer.
As in, in the golf bracket, has he?
Yeah, in the golf category.
Yeah, I think he's played a bit, and from his Insta as well, he loves a bit of golf. So,
to be fair though, a lot of county cricketers do, don't they? There seems to be this relationship between golf and cricket. Never understand why, but maybe it's just the swing, I suppose. Maybe just cricketers find natural ability in it. I'm yet to find it, but
yeah, probably good on your days off as well. It's just something to chill and do. I should probably get into it, to be fair, but yeah, I'm no good, and I'd need some extra large clubs as well.
I suppose there is that aspect of golf, isn't there? The social side is just something. Yeah. Well, I say it's a bit chill. I mean, George, I'm not sure if you play. Have you played tons of golf or not?
Probably only, but I can see why it's frustrating as well as relaxing.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You do see all sorts on a golf course. Some people do lose their rag very, very quickly after like a missed putt, or they get in the bunker. You see clubs all over the place. Oh, absolutely hilarious. Right then, George, moving on to our, I say it's the final question. There is a secondary question to this, but we'll start with this one. Who would you say is the most likely to win I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in the Derbyshire dressing room?
I might go with Mikey Cohen, because he's a very, very funny character. He's a very smart person from all the time I've known him, but he's also very, not stupid at times, but he's lacks common sense in areas. He's just a very, very funny guy, and he's always busy and asking questions, and he's very funny.
Sounds like a good choice then, based off that description. Yeah, I probably would be decent on I'm a Celeb, but as I said, the secondary question to that is the complete opposite. So who would not last a second on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Who would get into the jungle and say, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here straight away?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know enough about all the players to say who would like struggle with all of it. I think I'd struggle with the challenges, just in general. I'm not a fan of any of those challenges, to be honest. But I don't know what they hate and stuff about being in the jungle. So. But as a character, I can't really tell.
I suppose we'd have to just wait and find out, wouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Who knows? Maybe one day, Derbyshire cricketers, if you're listening, get yourself on, and we'll find out, won't we, in due course. But George, that does bring us to an end to today's teammates episode. I mean, that's pretty much it from myself, mate. Do you just have anything to kind of wrap up on, or any closing words before we end today's episode of TCCP? Any social media channels to promote, stuff like that?
No, mate. Just thank you for having me on and chatting cricket. So thank you very much.
No problem, George. The pleasure is all ours, mate. But if you do want us to leave your social media, we can, of course, do that in the podcast description on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But that is it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.